John chapter 10. Last week we took verses 7 through 10. This week we'll be finishing this section, verses 11 through 18. I'm going to read verses 7 to 10, first of all, as a way of introduction before we move into our study for today. Remember in verses 1 through 6, the Lord presented a proverb, not a parable, but a proverb. And the proverb was known in that day about the sheepfold, about the doorkeeper, and how the shepherds bring their flocks into the fold each night, how the doorkeeper keeps the flock in and keeps others out by serving as the door. And the next day, the different shepherds would come and the doorkeeper would stand aside and the different shepherds would call their sheep out of the sheepfold by name. And they would only follow their shepherds. That's why they didn't need to be marked. They didn't need to be separated. All the sheep could mix in together, because sheep will only follow the voice of their shepherd. And so he presents to them this proverb, and then, in way of introduction, applies it to himself. He didn't state yet that he's the good shepherd. That's for today. But he basically says that my sheep are hearing my voice, and they are following me. And they will never listen to the voice of a stranger. Ever. And so as he makes application to himself, last week, verses 7 through 10, Jesus presented himself as the door. In two sections, therefore, Jesus said again to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, that I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers. But the sheep did not listen to them." Interesting. Statement of fact. He didn't say they should not listen, but all the people who came before him that stood in the doorway, the sheepfold being Israel, and presented themselves as being Messiah or representatives of Messiah, they were thieves and they were robbers. A kleptes, a thief, is someone who steals by deception. A laistes, a robber, is someone who steals by force. So he says they stood in the doorway and presented themselves, but they were not the real thing. He says, "I am the door." But the sheep didn't hear them. Again, he says in verse 9, "I am the door. Through me, if anyone should enter, he will be saved. He will go in and he will go out and he will find pasture." Not might or should, but he will. Because they're going in and out of the fold through Jesus Christ. Jesus said in John 14:6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me." So Jesus said it's through him that they go in and out and that they find pasture. He says in verse 10, the thief is coming. Thief is not coming except in order that he might steal and kill and destroy. And the word for kill is not the word murder, but rather the sacrifice of animals. So he says the shepherds come so that they can get the sheep to follow them, so that they can sacrifice the sheep and eat the meat. Feed off the sheep. All of this is taken, by the way, from Ezekiel chapter 34 that we read to you before. How the shepherds of Israel were being cruel to the sheep. They were sacrificing the sheep and eating the meat. They were taking the wool for themselves. And they were feeding themselves from out of the flock, but not feeding the flock themselves. Jesus said, "I came in order that they might have life and they might have abundance." For today, starting at verse 11, he says, "I am the good shepherd." As we mentioned to you a couple of weeks ago from Genesis chapter 49, that the shepherd, singular, is always mentioned to be God himself. The God of Israel is the shepherd of Israel. It is interesting that the word good is not agathos, but it's the word kalos, because he's speaking in contrast between himself and the hired servant that watches the sheep. He's actually expanding and ministering concerning the proverb that is being spoken. So the good shepherd, in the human sense, has certain characteristics in comparison to the hired servant who's watching the sheep that doesn't care about the sheep. So he's using the physical metaphor for that which is true within the physical realm among shepherds. He says, I am the good shepherd. And this will be broken up into two sections as well. He's going to talk about in verse 14, he's going to say again, I am the good shepherd. So I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd is laying down his life on behalf of the sheep. First characteristic of a good shepherd. Notice the translation. He is laying down his life on behalf of, that is, in place of the sheep. You would think that an animal is not worth sacrificing your life for. But the good shepherd, we'll see in a moment, he sees the wolf coming. He doesn't run. He places his own life in danger. And the Greek word, tithemi, for the laying down of one's life is literally, he places his life in danger on behalf of the sheep. Now, a human life is not worth that of a sheep. But the good shepherd, he places his life in danger. He lays down his life so that they won't have to die at the hands of the wolf. So it's an interesting concept of laying down or placing one's life in danger. Opposite this, but the hired servant, that's the literal translation, the hireling is the hired servant, the person that is hired to take care of the sheep. The hireling or the hired servant, also not being a shepherd, of whom they are not his own sheep, he sees the wolf coming. See the word sees? It's not blepo, it's theoreo. He is viewing this scene. It's very picturesque. The hireling, the hired servant, is down with the flock, but he sees the wolf coming down out of the forest, and he's viewing this whole scene. He sees the wolf approaching, and he's viewing the whole scene as it's taking place. The hired servant, who's not a shepherd, and the sheep are not his own, he sees the wolf coming, and he leaves the sheep, and he flees or escapes. He's basically saying, these sheep are not mine, I'm just getting paid. So, if there's danger, I'm out of here, because I'm not going to lose my life for somebody else's sheep. And the wolf seizes them and scatters the sheep. Now, the hired servant, he flees or escapes because he is a hired servant. And it is not a concern to, it is not a care to him concerning the sheep. Well, the basic principle is, first of all, is the good shepherd places his life in danger on behalf of the sheep. A hireling, or one that is hired to take care of the sheep, he'll do it because he's getting paid to do it, but when it comes to danger or hardship, he's out of there. Because he's a hired servant. He's not a shepherd. And they are not his own sheep. I can remember when I was in full-time gardening landscaping service, and I built my business up. We had a couple of trucks going, a couple of crews working. And what I wanted to do was reach that corporate a place where you are no longer doing the work and you're just going out putting in bids and supervising a little bit and letting everybody else do the work. Even to the point that I would take people with me and train them how to do it the way I do it. I have a certain system. I'd even have them over on Saturdays to mow my backyard to show them how I mow lawns. Make a double border before you go back and forth so you can turn around in the border, not on people's sidewalks, etc. How to make straight paths and how to have the wheels overlap and, you know, the whole thing. And they would go with me. And I would leave written instructions on what to do at each property, and I would show them how I do each property. But no matter how much time I spent with them showing them, as soon as I wasn't there, they just did whatever they had to do just to get out of there. Because they were getting paid by the day, not by the hour. So if they finished at 3, they get to go home earlier. And if they finished at 5 because they took a little extra time to do the job right, they get paid the same. So a hireling says, here's this guy's yard. Let's get the mower out. Let's skip edging this week. We'll just run the weeder. And, you know, they find all the ways to skip. And then for one property, I actually got a call from a customer once and said, are you not mowing my lawn anymore? I said, well, my crew is doing your yard. He says, yeah, but your crew is taking a lunch break in my backyard and they're picking the fruit off the trees and sitting under the fruit trees eating their lunch. Not professional, you know, not representative of what we taught them. And no matter how many crews I went through, I even had one guy, it was on a vacation weekend, it was a holiday on a Monday. So Friday, he was leaving town right after work, and he would get the 3 days off. And he was in such a hurry to get my van parked. We had an entrance in the back way where they could pull the trucks in. And he was driving the van. He walks up to the front door and says, I crashed your truck down the street, and I really don't have time because I got to get out of town. Here's the keys. So I had to go down and get the truck, pull it in, find out what was wrong. Well, when he showed up for work Tuesday, he had a little pink slip waiting for him saying, you're done. And a little bit of severance pay, but it still didn't help. He didn't understand why. What's the problem? But no matter how many times I went through this process, it always came down to this, that if I didn't do it myself, it wouldn't get done right as far as the way I saw things had to be done and how the customer saw things had to be done. And now hindsight, looking back, it's because it's my business, you know. They're my customers. It's my equipment. They're my trucks. And, you know, I'm earning my living off of this and I'm helping others to make a living. But all they're doing is they're just showing up, punching in and going out and trying to get through as fast as possible. Because they're getting paid the same no matter how fast it takes them. They don't care about what quality job they're doing. They don't care what they do to your equipment. Just get through. They're hirelings. So Jesus says that there are those who come and shepherd the flock. To shepherd the flock of God. And they only care about one thing. What can I get from the sheep? How much wool can you produce that I can shave off of you and use for myself? How can I feed you in such a way to where you can be slaughtered and eaten for my own food? Attitude. A true shepherd, a good shepherd, will sacrifice and place his life in danger on behalf of the sheep. And when the wolf comes, he won't run. He will place his life in danger. He will lay down his life on behalf of the sheep. The hired servant won't do that. And I think interesting when you catch the sense of the spiritual thrust of what Jesus is saying, that he's actually applying this to the religious leaders who are standing there listening to the proverb being explained and applied to himself, Jesus. You know that Jesus is talking to them. They knew it in their reaction and their response. So he says, a thief and a robber tries to get up some other way, tries to do anything they can to rob the sheep and rip off the sheep. But the true shepherd is sacrificial. He leads the sheep to pasture. He feeds the sheep. Now in the first hour, remember Paul was talking to the leaders from Ephesus. He says, shepherd the flock of God, which God has appointed you as overseers. Feed them. Take care of them. That oppressive wolves will come. Even be raised up from out of the midst of you. Not just come from outside, but from out of your midst. So pay attention to yourself and be watching, because the oppressive wolves are coming. Interesting, Jesus talks about himself and contrast to the hireling. Verse 14. The second time he says, I am the good shepherd, and I know the ones who are of mine. Showing possession. I know my sheep. And I am known by the ones of mine. That is, of the sheep that are mine. I know them and they know me. According as the Father knows me, I also know the Father. From here on in, for the rest of the chapter, the Lord is going to pull in all these loose ends, and the theme is going to be oneness. I and the Father are one. The flock and the shepherd are one. The oneness. Even the sheep from outside of this fold that belong to another fold. Now he's bringing the Father into it. As I know the Father, and as the Father knows me, I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Oneness. We all know each other. We're not strangers. And I lay down my life on behalf of the sheep. And again, I place my life in danger in place of or instead of the sheep. Now he says in verse 16, he introduces a very interesting aspect of this oneness. And other sheep I have. Notice the word other is allos, Allah, for neuter plural. Not others of a different kind, but others of the same kind. Other sheep I have, which are not from out of this fold, it is necessary that I lead those also. Notice it's not bring, but it's the word lead, because he's a shepherd. He doesn't bring them, he leads them. And they will hear my voice. He's talking about the Gentiles. The sheepfold he's been talking about up to this time was Israel. And that Jesus is the good shepherd. And that Jesus is the door of the sheepfold through which people come. And now he's talking about the oneness. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and they know me. Just as I know the Father, and the Father knows me. These other sheep are the Gentiles that are not of the fold of Israel. These also the Lord leads. And look what the end result is. They will hear my voice, and they will become one fold and one shepherd. Everything's one. One day, it'll all be one fold. Right now, the Lord is in the process of bringing and leading the sheep who are the Gentiles into the fold. And one day, it'll all be one. One day, there'll be one shepherd. One day, everything and everyone will be one in Christ. Positionally and factually, as far as circumstance. On account of this, this oneness that everything will eventually be. On account of this, the Father loves me because I lay down my life in order that, notice the translation, in order that I might receive it again. Not take it, but receive it. I lay it down for the purpose of receiving life back again. No one takes it from me. And again, the word takes is not the normal word for taking. It's the word removal. Nobody removes my life. But I lay it down from out of myself. From myself. It's a Hebraism for voluntarily. Nobody removes my life. Nobody takes my life. I voluntarily lay it down from myself, not from anybody else. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to receive it again. This commandment I received, same word, from my Father. He's the Good Shepherd. He lays down his life for the sheep. He is not a hireling. I think that's interesting, which is really a sticking point in the body of Christ today. I have a problem with it. I think that those in service to Christ ought to just serve, like the Levites of the Old Testament and as Paul and the others did in the New Testament, that they ought to serve and just trust the Lord to provide for their needs. But instead we hire them. And it becomes a job. And we become compromised with our message of the gospel because we're actually ministering to people who have hired us and we don't want to get fired because we're in such financial debt. We have such financial responsibility, they might fire us. We become hirelings when we look for a job. And we have to work for the system. We have to work for the institution. And sometimes it compromises our service to Christ. It compromises the Word of God. Secondly, Jesus said the characteristic of the Good Shepherd is the sacrificial role. And he was a good example of that. He's one who suffered the psychological and emotional distress. Paul was the one who suffered this distress and this hardship. And Paul is the one who was just said, I die daily. They were like sheep going to the slaughter. That's part of love. Agape love involves sacrificial action. As Jesus came and sacrificed himself for our spiritual welfare, we will be crucified with Christ. But then there's the oneness. The Good Shepherd is not only drawing those who are of the fold of Israel, but also those who are of the Gentiles, the sheep, and the fold will become one. With one shepherd. And since the shepherd is one with the Father, And the shepherd is one with the sheep that makes the sheep one with the Father. As he brings this whole thing into conclusion, at the end of chapter 10, we'll see the reactions beginning next week and the fallout concerning this teaching and more of the presentation of Jesus about the oneness of the shepherd with the sheep of Israel and the sheep of the Gentiles. That they will become one fold. And as we consider this week, as we celebrate actually the crucifixion of our Lord, next Sunday we'll be celebrating the resurrection of Christ. He laid down His life voluntarily. Nobody took His life. He voluntarily placed Himself in a position on our behalf so that we might become His sheep. And that we might be delivered from the destroyer, Satan himself, the wolf. And he sacrifices his life on our behalf so that we can have life. Jesus said, I came that they might have life and they might have abundance of life. So this week, as we reflect on His death, on His sacrifice, we reflect on the fact that He died so that we might live. And that we would not have to die. So that we can graze in the pasture of His Word. And that the fruit of God's Spirit can be produced and borne out in us. Because the Shepherd is faithful to lead us. Let's close with prayer. Our Heavenly Father, thank You for Your love. We thank You for what the sacrifice of Christ means to us. We're thankful that it can be applied to our hearts and lives through our Shepherd, Jesus Christ. We thank You that we are promised that we who belong to Christ, who are sheep that have a heart to hear, we will hear His voice and we will become one flock and one shepherd. And we thank You for that. We thank You that it is a promise, not a work. That it is a product of Your ministry speaking to our hearts. Again, this week, as we remember Your death and as we prepare to remember Your resurrection, may we remember the Good Shepherd who has laid down His life on behalf of the sheep. We thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.